This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Why is air travel a mess right now? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Airlines canceled 3% of all their flights from the beginning of this year through Monday. That compares with 2% in 2019, before the pandemic. This is according to website FlightAware. Memorial Day weekend was a mess in terms of cancellations and lines, and this weekend is not looking so great either. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now to talk about it. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So let's start with today. How are things looking so far?
Not so great, Sabri. FlightAware says more than 800 flights into or out of the U.S. are scrubbed so far today. More than 700 are delayed. More than 1,500 were canceled yesterday. So we are approaching the misery of Memorial Day, when about 2,800 flights were canceled over a five-day stretch.
What is going on? Like, why can't airlines keep on schedule?
Weather is a big problem. Travel peaks during the summer, but so do thunderstorms. Also, pilots have to retire when they're 65, and airlines encourage pilots to retire during the pandemic when very few people were flying. They wanted to save money. Now there's a pilot shortage. We also need more air traffic controllers. The FAA is hiring now, if anybody's interested.
Are there any solutions here?
A few. In some cases, planes are being allowed to fly at lower altitudes to avoid bad weather, but that burns more fuel. Some airlines are trying to spot potential disruptions earlier so they can proactively delay some flights. Other airlines are cutting their summer schedules to deal with staffing shortages and reduce congestion. But I am sorry to say, Sabri, there is no simple solution here.
All right. Well, thanks, Nancy, I think.
You're welcome.
Trade agreements are notoriously hard to broker, especially when there are more than two countries involved. But the World Trade Organization has managed to herd the cats and come up with a couple deals. One, limiting fishing subsidies to cut the oceans some slack from overfishing. And two, waiving patents for coronavirus vaccines. The BBC's economics correspondent Darshini David has more.
Reaching agreements that could reduce overfishing and safeguard food supplies for the poorest is a victory for the World Trade Organization. But the price has been significant compromise. The deal for waiving intellectual property rights only covers vaccines for 5 years and excludes disease treatments and tests. The agreements on fishing subsidies required substantial exemptions for developing countries, while the lifting of restrictions on food exports is limited. While many tricky issues, such as wider agricultural subsidies, are being left to the next conference in 2023.
Darshini David with the BBC. All right, let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. That's a nice change. In the 0.8% to 1.2% range, with the Dow future up 242 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.232%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to Ukraine. According to the Kyiv School of Economics, the war has so far caused up to $600 billion in economic damage. So who's going to pay for that? One logical answer might be Russia. The US, Europe, and Japan have all frozen hundreds of billions of dollars worth of Russian assets. So why not use that to cover rebuilding? Well, our next guest argues we might want to think twice about that. Mathieu Favas is finance correspondent for The Economist and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Several countries in the EU and numerous politicians have said if Russia is causing $600 billion worth of damage to Ukraine, Russia should pay for that. And we should seize its assets to make that happen. My first question about that is that legal, at least in the US?
It is mostly not. You need to look at state assets and private assets separately. In general, to be able to legally seize private assets, you need a criminal conviction in the courts. This is a lot of effort, time and money spent in court. So that's the private assets. For the state assets, they're not frozen, so they need to be frozen first before being seized, if they are ever seized. But then most of them generally are covered by what we call the sovereign immunity, so they're protected from lawsuits. But there are, in the US, there's a law that gives sometimes a reason for seizing assets. And typically doesn't give the right to seize the assets, but there's one exception that was added in 2001, which allows the US government to seize assets if it's at war with another country. But right now, you know, America is not at war with Russia, and actually the government is quite at pains to emphasize that that's not the case.
If the US and Europe cannot use confiscated or seized or frozen Russian assets to make Russia pay for what it's done in Ukraine, is there some other way to compel Russia to pay?
Well, there's two other ways that are being contemplated or considered. Russia earns an enormous amount of money every day from selling oil and gas to Western countries. You could try and target this amount of money either by imposing a tariff on Russian oil and gas exports. And that's an option that Janet Yellen has argued in front of the G7. The second possibility would be to hold the revenues that Russia earns into international bank accounts, in escrow accounts, and basically then force Russia to pay some of this money to Ukraine in exchange for this money then to go to Russia.
I mean, what do you see as the most likely outcome here?
The most likely outcome, I think, is that things stay as they are, that the West carries on trying to freeze more Russian assets, especially the ones that are the most visible. So the yachts, the private planes, the Russian central bank reserves will remain frozen. I think it will be hard. There's quite big obstacles for then the confiscation to happen. I suspect there may be some efforts or some attempts to do that, but I don't expect they will be very successful. Yes, what I expect rather is for the West to contribute to the reconstruction of Ukraine because, the confiscations are unlikely.
Mathieu Favas is The Economist's finance correspondent. Thank you so much, Mathieu.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.